Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. The people that we interview on this show who are involved in a nonprofit or they've started one and are doing great things in our local communities across the country and in some cases around the world is sometimes the result of a challenge or a particularly painful situation they themselves or someone very close to them has experienced. Now, we certainly want to acknowledge and not minimize the difficult situation, the challenge, or the pain. But what we also want to do is highlight the positive things that come out of that pain. Now, I think most everyone experiences some kind of pain, life challenge, or adversity of varying degrees. But what someone does with that pain can oftentimes lead to a new purpose in life, an opportunity to help others who may be going through similar situations. Our show is going to speak to that today, and my hope is that you will come away with information, inspiration, and ideas for ways that you can make an impact after you hear our guests' personal stories. My first guest today is Lisa Price, founder and president of Bereaved Together. Welcome to the show today, Lisa.
Thank you, Jill, so much, and thank you, EIG, for allowing me to be here and speak.
You're certainly welcome. I try and do research for every show just to get a context and come up with some stats that are relative to the topic of conversation. And according to the Institute of Medicine, the death of a child is one of the greatest and most enduring stresses a person can experience. Parents are likely to suffer from health, social, and economic challenges for, on average, 18 years following the death of a child. So it seems obvious then that to get some kind of support is so crucial for a parent who has gone through this, and ideally to get that help and support as soon as possible. So Lisa, where did the inspiration come from to start an organization for bereaved mothers?
Well, just like you said, it was from my life's greatest challenge and adversity, the death of my daughter, that inspired our organization and actually my living son and my husband as well. We knew that her death was not just for that and that only. I knew in my heart that her story would not end when she took her last breath. So our daughter Ari died in 2017, and we found as a family that grief was very isolating, and the supports that were out there, often the support groups were back at the hospital, and to us and to, I'm assuming, many other bereaved families, that's triggering. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel like a comforting, nurturing environment where there's room for hope. Mm-hmm. And even though those support groups are so important and storytelling and sharing your story is very valuable and it makes us all see our human side, they often just stopped there with talking. And it lacked the consistent and continuous support that you said in the stats, on average, it takes about 18 years.
Yeah.
That there needs to be consistent and continuous support out there for bereaved parents. So when I couldn't find it, I decided to try and build it. Mm. And it started off as me life coaching in 2019, but then has shifted and morphed into our organization now called Bereaved Together. And we highlight the word brave because the word brave is inside of bereaved, and that is inspired by my daughter's fight to make it here through a life-limiting diagnosis, and to meet her brother, to meet her family, to come home to our family home with us. And so I see that in all of the bereaved parents that we now work with, is just how much their bravery continues to build their resilience after the death of their child. And this type of brave was thrust onto us. We didn't ask for it.
Right.
But it is some of the most beautiful kind of brave to witness. And so through our workshops and our wellness events, we support bereaved mothers as well as their families. And our mission is to create safe, supportive spaces for bereaved moms, shifting the sole focus of bereavement from death to life, because we're the ones left here. And I think it's to honor our child's life is by us honoring our own life, because they didn't get the chance to live it out.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm so sorry for your loss as well. I can't even imagine. I actually had one of my best friends lose her son in a truck accident over 15 years ago, and she very seldom talked about it because I think it was just too painful. And I guess that's not uncommon, because they say that grief isn't something people often discuss openly. Why do you think it's so important for people to keep listening?
Well, grief is heavy and it is extremely personal, but why do we as a society feel like we have to grieve in private? It's the one thing we will all experience in this lifetime. It might not be the death of a child, and God forbid, I hope it doesn't happen to anyone. But it's the one universal thing. So if we can create a space where it isn't taboo, there's no shame, there's no guilt, it can unify us. Grief really does have the power to unify us, and it looks different for everyone. So if we lean into open, vulnerable conversations, I think we can build a world where people feel seen and supported, and that our child's life matters. Saying their name matters.
Yeah.
Saying your loved one's name, no matter who it is,
matters. Well, share with us some of the best or most meaningful ways then that we can show up for a bereaved mom.
Well, you said it right there, just show up. You know, sitting in the uncomfortable and the suckiness of it, shelving your own discomfort with grief and death and dying, and just being open and honest. You don't have to have any right words to say. There are no right words.
Right.
But to say nothing hurts, I think, even more. And so being honest and saying, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, but I am here for you, I love you, in whatever capacity I'm able to support you, I am here for you. We actually have a quiz on our website for supporters to take, so they can figure out, using their characteristics, their skill sets, to find out what best type of supporter they are. So suggest everybody goes.
That is awesome.
Goes and takes that quiz.
Yeah, because so many times people say, I just don't know what to say.
Yeah.
So just, okay, so we'll get that at the end of the segment to make sure people know where to go to get it. Well, why do you think it's so essential to create this space for bereaved mothers to connect? And what value does that hold for them?
Well, like you said, all those statistics in the beginning, studies show that grief support groups can reduce the isolation and depression and anxiety up to 78%. And I think what we offer as an organization, when we include the wellness pieces like breath work and yoga, meditation, intentional time in community, storytelling and sharing, it can only maximize that percentage. And even up to 40%, I believe, is what the stat is for wellness-based practices. Can definitely have a huge impact on someone's grief and healing journey, and therefore trying to shift the focus from death to living our lives.
Yeah, and celebrating that life.
Celebrating it,
Now, you mentioned bereaved parents, so just so we're clear, do you offer support for the fathers as well at these conferences, or is that something else?
We have our online group is mainly moms, but dads are welcome. And then we have some separate events like our Date Beyond Grief, which is a night out for bereaved parents that fathers get involved. We also have Brave Kids and Families Grief Wellness Workshops where the kids, siblings, and the fathers and moms can come and experience things together. But mainly our focus is the bereaved moms and then the extension from there.
Sure. Okay. Well, I imagine having a shared experience, good or bad, with someone makes it easier to connect on a deeper personal level.
Sure.
When we come back, Lisa's going to share some of her favorite moments around being connected with others and what it's meant. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Julie Conimo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Lisa Price, founder and president of Bereaved Together. So can you share, Lisa, some of your favorite moments or highlights around being connected to Bereaved Together from a founder perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say I would not have met so many beautiful and amazing brave women if I would not have experienced my loss and then tried to turn it into something positive. So that is a gift for me to be welcome into the sacred space of someone's grief and healing, and a gift to honor my daughter's life through this work. One highlight is a woman who shared with me that she lost 25 pounds, and she said it was 25 pounds of grief because over 25 years ago she lost her first son, and only her mom and her husband knew, because of back then it was a little bit more brushed under the rug. And after she came through our programming and came to the conference, she started working on herself and just taking time, intentional time, to work through her grief, and lost 25 pounds. And she says it's the weight of grief that she was carrying around, unable to share with anyone. And once she was able to express it and release it, it was a huge, huge let go.
Yeah.
And then just every woman that comes into our conference, especially, that's our biggest program that we have at Bereaved Together. That's kind of how I met your next guest and who will be speaking at our conference as well. And so it's just these connections are the highlights. You watch women walk into any of our events and they're crying or they're hesitant. They're, they look very lonely, very sad, obviously. Mm. But then as the experience progresses, you see them smiling, laughing, exchanging contact info with someone else, and walking out there holding someone's hand or hugging someone and a smile on their face. So it's just in those moments where I get like full body goosebumps, because I know that we're onto something and we're doing something that's helping those who have experienced the worst, I think, of losses continue to live.
Yeah, it's got to be very fulfilling for you.
It is.
To be a part of helping someone else. You saw a gap in services, something that you felt you needed that you weren't getting, and so you turned around and went out and made something happen. So that's great. Well, what advice would you offer to a bereaved mom who perhaps feels nervous or unsure about joining the Bereaved Together community?
That's interesting, because I just asked this to our board members who once were individuals that came. And so Sarah shared that it's totally normal to feel that way, right? And no one wants this life, but the moment you sit beside others who know your exact pain, your specific experience, and understand your feelings of anger, sadness, rage, and even joy, and that you don't have to explain yourself, you don't feel so alone anymore. And so death while isolating, grief while isolating, if you find a community who can relate to you and your experiences, it can greatly impact your life for the better. Finding this community of people has literally saved my life and helped me find purpose while I live without a piece of my heart.
Your daughter's name again?
Ari.
Ari. So I'm sure Ari would be very proud of you. Sorry.
It's okay. I hope so.
I'm sure she is.
I hope so.
I'm sure she is. Tell us what your greater vision or long-term goal is for Bereaved Together.
So my vision is, like I said before, to really shift the focus of bereavement from death to living our lives. And our greater goal, our huge vision, is to have our own space, our own place to operate all of our workshops instead of going from place to place and renting venues. I had a EMDR therapy session back in 2019, and it was so vivid. You close your eyes and you're seeing all these pictures behind your eyelids, and mine was so vivid of having this farmstead location and literally the barn doors opening, and I'm sweating and wiping my brow. And as I open these barn doors, people are clapping and they're saying, "You did it." And I see women off to the right in a studio doing like stretching and yoga. There's a cafe off to the left where people are having deep conversations, meaningful, heartfelt conversations. There's a loft up top where people are doing art therapy. There's men in the back flipping tires, doing like a boot camp type of workout, and there's a running club, and there's willow trees, and just, it was so vivid. And that just takes me back to my experience of going to support groups where it's in like a stale office building, or back to the hospital, the corporate center. And so our huge goal is to raise funds to be able to own and operate our own space called the Brave Space for bereaved moms and their families to experience alternative wellness therapies and find community.
So right now you basically operate out of your home.
Yep, our office is based out of my home, but then we end up renting different venues.
Yeah, tell us about your kids' event then.
So it's biannual, and it's usually about 3 hours long. We have a emotional wellness therapist that usually comes in and does some sort of creative activity. Like the last time was with clay, and they were able to talk about emotions and use the emotion wheel to name their emotions and then, you know, shape it into clay. The other time before, they created memory boxes. Another time they did scream boxes. They decorated like a Kleenex box to scream into, or it could be a singing box,
okay.
A punch pillow, just different things for their emotional well-being. And at that time, the parents then are in a different room speaking with a counselor or a licensed professional. And then we move our bodies. The kids get to do some sort of fun hip-hop type of dance style movement session, and the parents typically do some sort of yoga or even like kickboxing. It just depends on what facilitators we're able to find.
Some large motor skill activity.
Yeah, and just, you know, kinetically release a lot of those emotions that get pent up in the body. And then we do a family art project, like a memorial type of art project. Mm. And this last time we did a family breathwork session, so they could all take home different breathwork practices that they could work together on as a family. And then we have a meal together or refreshments so that there's time for community and conversation.
Mm, so nice. So in summary, you primarily work with moms, mm-hmm. but you also have opportunities mm-hmm. to reach out to the families,
yes.
the siblings, the dads, and help them go through some cathartic processes mm-hmm. to help them.
Yep.
And then you continue to support them along the way. It's
yep.
not just, let's work with you for a couple months and then you're gone.
Right.
You're there, you're walking alongside them, and that's invaluable, I think.
Yeah. We also invite supporters to come too, because I think it's so impactful for those who haven't lost a child but they're supporting someone who has, to see the work that it takes.
And support that person.
And support them.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what would you say at this point then? You know, you're looking to grow your organization. You're looking for that space that somebody might just have out there or suggestions for it. What would you say is your organization's greatest need right now?
Well, I would say it's definitely to share, because as we just talked about, approaching a bereaved mom and saying, hey, I have this organization that I know of, I've heard from a lot of people, they're like, I just don't know how to present it to them. Mm-hmm. Well, you're denying them the chance to make that choice for themselves then. So you just have to say, I know this organization that supports bereaved moms. You might want to check it out and let them from there decide. But we also need people to recognize that our organization, a lot of people don't like to donate to death. And our organization is not death. Even though death is what brings us together, right. It's those who are living life after, after loss, that is what we're obviously honoring, the ones that are gone.
Yeah.
But it's, we're working with saving someone's life, really.
Yeah.
Because when our child dies, we lose a huge piece of who we are. And every part of our life is affected. Mm. Every part of our life. So just for people to share, and then to also recognize that funding is needed for individuals. They might be able to afford something, but we would like to provide the opportunities for them as a community to show that we care, to show that we can provide the safe, supportive space within a community that understands. And we're not able to do that without funding. So it's just good to share with those who are looking to support us financially that we're not about death. We are about life.
And advocacy, like you said before,
oh, yeah.
I think sometimes people minimize that. You know, mm-hmm. we talk about offering time, talents, and resources. Mm-hmm. And all that is so important, and it all has its space. But that's why we do this type of show, is to bring awareness to the great work that you are doing and to just let people know that there are resources out there, there are options. And if you're listening to this show and you know of somebody who has experienced loss, connect them. Mm-hmm. You know, have them reach out. Send them to your website. So where can people find more information?
Well, you can visit our website, www.bereavetogether.org, or you could just Google us. Lots of stuff will come up, Bereave Together. Otherwise, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Bereave Together, or bereaved_together is our Instagram one.
Okay.
So, but seriously, Google. It's the easiest way.
And that's the best way to check yeah. to see dates of upcoming events mm-hmm. that you have going on
yep.
and just all the ways that you're making an impact. So thank you very much, Lisa Price, founder and president of Bereaved Together. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Jill. It was a true honor and pleasure. It's a
thank
gift
you.
To be able to share my daughter and the work that we do. So.
I'm sure it is.
Thank
so
you.
Blessings to you and to Ari, who's looking down on you right now.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, Lisa mentioned how important and valuable it is to meet other moms who have gone through similar experiences, because you never know what can come from that connection. After a short commercial break, we'll meet another mom who went through her own tragedy and grief, and we'll learn how she turned her pain into purpose. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. My next guest met Lisa at a Bereaved Together event and has now found a way to turn her pain into purpose after experiencing her own tragedy. Welcome to the show today, Callie Chiroff, founder and president of Project Bubaloo.
Hello, thanks so much for having me. This is a pleasure to be here.
And I'm happy to have you. I love the name, Project Bubaloo. Share with us. Yeah, I'm anxious to hear. Share with us how, first of all, how you got connected with Lisa, and then ultimately why you started Project Bubaloo.
Well, it's interesting. I met Lisa at it's called the Butterfly Ball. We were actually in Madison, and it was a bereaved gala. And we're sitting across from each other, and she starts telling me her story, and I'm going, we know each other. And it was through people, it's a small walkie connection that I actually had heard her story. I knew of Bereaved Together, and then I said, I'm from Project Bubaloo. And we knew who we were, like, or each other were, what did I say that? Yeah. But anyway, we started talking, and we spent the whole night chatting, and ever since then, we've been supporting each other more through our nonprofits. So it's been great for her to be a part of my journey and to be in this part of things, because I think I probably do need to get to my spiritual side of my grief a little bit more, because I've just been, ever since my loss, I've been a doer. And I think Project Bubaloo's been a part of that. So my story started in 2017. I was pregnant with my first child, and it took 2 years to get there, so it was a really exciting thing. There was fertility treatments involved. And unfortunately, I just, you know, you get that mother's instinct. I was a new mom, but I just felt like something was wrong. And so that 20-week ultrasound, when they tell you about all the fingers and toes and they look at the heart, and the ultrasound tech just kept telling us things that looked abnormal. So there was something going on with the kidney. Oh, I'm not so sure about the heart. But she was kind of downplaying it, not really giving us a lot of detail. I don't think they're supposed to. And then the doctor came in and said, so we're seeing multiple things wrong, and I'm worried about something genetic. And I think there's just that devastation of that loss of normalcy. You know, it's all of a sudden this wonderful thing that I've been hoping and thinking about for years and years is here, and now it's coming with not a normal journey. And it was really hard, and we didn't know what it meant. So we went to another doctor, and this other perinatologist had looked at things and said, I think there is a critical heart defect, and it's serious. And up until that point, I had been a nurse for 10 years. I worked as a nurse practitioner in primary care, and he's telling me acronyms and heart defects that I had never heard before. I didn't know what he was talking about, so I felt very uncomfortable, it was hard because I just didn't know what was going on. And then the idea that my son would need open heart surgery soon after birth was basically, that's what was told to me. And so we went to the amazing team at the Herma Heart Institute at Children's Wisconsin. I'll always give them shout out. We are so lucky that we have them in our backyard, and you don't know that you need them until you need them. And the doctors said, we can do this. We've seen this defect before, and gave me a rundown of how it was going to go. And it was just a matter of getting there and keeping him, you know, in as long as possible. So the rest of my pregnancy was super stressful. And then at 32 weeks, my water broke. And so I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, he is not big enough. He is not big enough. How are they going to do open heart surgery on this mini little baby? And I just remember Dr. Mitchell, who's one of the main cardiothoracic surgeons at Children's, came in and he said, I can do this, and we're just going to do our best. But the anesthesiologist gave us a 50-50 shot that he was going to make it out. So Theo was born a few days later at 3 pounds, 3 ounces. And when he went into the OR, I just, it's almost like you said goodbye. I didn't know if I was going to see him alive again. But that day we kept getting good reports. You know, he's a tough guy. He was doing great. And he got out of surgery, seemingly not unscathed. It's hard to explain, but when he came out of surgery, I could see his heart beating out of his chest. They essentially put a plastic piece of Saran wrap over an open cavity. So being a new parent and then seeing something like that, so it's seems barbaric, but they're so swollen and their bodies can't handle that sort of trauma. It's just part of the deal, but you don't know how to deal with it. And fast forward, he recovered, but there was complication after complication. And I sat in that room for 6 months, every day, all day.
At the Herma Heart Institute?
Yes, okay. At Children's, in their cardiac ICU. Oh, okay. And I think over time, I just realized, and we had found out through this, that he did have a genetic condition. And I initially thought, I'm like, well, and they couldn't tell me a lot about it. It wasn't a specific thing. It wasn't like, oh, he has Down syndrome or something. It was a problem with his second chromosome, and they couldn't tell me anything. And I said, well, I'm just going to pretend like he's going to be really good at math. Like, that's what that genetic defect means. I don't know, because you can't tell me. So I was just trying to stay hopeful. But I think we realized over time that it meant his life wasn't going to be long. And I remember a doctor looking at me and saying, Callie, I need you to know and understand that you are going to outlive Theo. You need to know that. And I need you to tell me that you know that. And it was just this realization of, oh, what is my life? What is happening? How did this happen? And it was like I had gained a family, like doctors and nurses. They were the only ones that I really felt like knew what was going on with us and knew Theo. And then all of a sudden, one day it was over. And we withdrew care. And I held my baby in my arms while he took his last breath. Mm. And after that, I didn't know, what is happening? How did I end up here? And I didn't know how to deal with that. So I think that my starting this nonprofit is a part of, and like Lisa was saying about how you have to, it's putting energy somewhere. And that's how Project Bubblu came to be.
Wow. What a story. I mean, I shared at the beginning of the show that the death of a child is one of the greatest and most enduring stresses a parent can experience. And as I said, one of my besties experienced that, and I don't think anybody really realizes. I mean, people can be there for you and however many ways that they can think of to be there for you, but I really don't think anybody really knows what it's like until they experience it themselves. And to have resources, groups of women that have experienced that, that you can connect with, is so awesome. How has your loss of Theo changed you?
I think I just want to comment with your friend. That makes me so sad, because I want to yell from the rooftops about Theo. And I make sure that everybody knows that I am a bereaved parent. And I always tell people, you are not reminding me that Theo is dead. I know he is dead. I live that every single day. I want you to ask me about him because I want to tell you about him. He was 6 months old. He had a short life, but his life meant something. Absolutely. And so it makes me sad that anybody would not want to talk about their child. And so I feel really sad for your friend that she felt, and I don't know her, but just that she couldn't talk or speak about such a loss. So I think when Theo died, I cared so much more about, this might sound cliche, but you just, when you're young, you care about, like, you know, I went to grad school and I got this certain job and I make a certain amount of money and I, you know, it's all about these things. And I think as Americans, just in general, we want to work hard and play hard and show everyone what we're doing on social media. And I just realized if I had the most amount of money and the most whatever and had a big house, and my kid would still be dead.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
None of it would have mattered. And none of it does matter. And right. It was just this huge shift in perspective of how am I going to refocusing on the things that, again, sounds cliche, but really and truly getting a clean slate of perspective. And I'm sure I don't live that life every single day, but I try really hard to all of those things, not caring, not valuing those things as much as I do the relationships that I have and the time that I have with people, because you just don't know. And I'm not going to be here forever. My son was here for such a short time, and I just promised him that I was not going to make a waste out of my life. I was not going to let his death control me in a negative way, and so I was going to make something more of my life. I feel really and truly, I went through a divorce the same year that he died, and which is very stressful too. And I truly though got a clean slate, and I wasn't going to waste that. And I feel like he gave that to me.
Well, and I 100% believe that he was here for a very pointed purpose.
Yes,
you know, I believe that things happen for a reason, in terms of people coming into your life, and he was meant to be here for you to change your life. And forgive me if it sounds like I'm minimizing. I'm not. I'm just saying that I think there was a plan for his life ahead of time, and you as a result are doing things that you would not have otherwise done.
Yeah. And I wouldn't know. I mean, there's so many people in my life right now I never would have met. Like, how many relationships and friendships and people that I truly, really love and care about that I never would have met or known if he hadn't come into my life.
Right. And I'm guessing that you would say you would give that all 100%. Up if you could have Theo here.
Yes.
Still, or Ari here. I'm sure that would be the case. But like you said before, it's not going to, you know, it's not, it is what it is.
Yeah.
He is no longer here. He's here in my memory. He's here in spirit. But how can then I take this very real situation and turn it into something positive that's going to help other people? I give you both so much. It's wonderful what you're doing. I give you a lot of credit. You know, it's just wonderful. Project Bubaloo and Bereave Together are these two wonderful examples of women turning their pain and sorrow into purpose and passion. And one of the ways that people can get started is by offering support and encouragement, either through programs or events or both, you offer. And in order to do that, you most likely will need some funding of some kind to get started and to sustain your mission to help. So after our commercial break, Callie will share some of the things that she did to help her get started and sustain her mission. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And I'm talking in our last segment today with Callie Chiroff, founder and president of Project Bubaloo. So I mentioned before that one of my very best friends lost her son in a truck accident. Georgie was only 17 years old. He was a very good friend of my son's. And I've actually interviewed a number of guests on this show who have experienced the pain of losing a child. And some of them were able to turn their unimaginable grief and sorrow into a life purpose of helping others along their journey of healing. And we understand how important this mission is and why it's so important to make services available. And so raising funds is so critical, in most cases, in order to sustain the goals and the mission of the individuals and the nonprofits. So, Callie, give us some examples of some of the ways that you fund your mission.
Yeah. Well, first, I'd love to tell everyone about Project Bubaloo. We actually, I know you said you like the name, and that actually comes from my nickname for Theo. I think a lot of parents call their kid like Bubba, or like, you know, they're big and chubby. And so it just turned into Bubaloo, and so that's why we called it Project Bubaloo. And then I recently found out that Bubaloo actually, I want to say it's in the Arabic language, or definitely not English, but Bubaloo kind of translates to goofy or funny looking man. That is not why I named it. Just want to clarify.
Let's set the record
in case
straight
someone's
here.
Listening, yes. Is like Bubaloo. Yes. What? Didn't know that. So it came from just a nickname. And so my sister Catherine and I we had to put this grief and sad energy into something. And so we decided that, hey, we're gonna start raising funds for congenital heart disease. And what I think is really important, and what I want people to understand, is I feel like this is a crisis that we don't know about. Congenital heart disease, congenital just means born with. So these are heart defects that children are born with, and it affects 1 in 100 children. It is the most common birth defect and the number one cause of infant mortality related to birth defects. So a lot of children are dying from this, Theo being one of them. Thankfully, so much has happened in medicine in the last 30 years. Kids like Theo would never have lived 6 months. That 30 years ago when it, oh no, gosh, almost 40 years ago when I was born, he would not have survived. And so they have come a long way when it comes to the care, and surgical procedures and things have come a long way, but we still have a far way to go. And so for me, funding research and being part of the scientific process of advancing care was the thing that I felt would be worth all of our time, because that's how kids are going to live longer. They're children with half of a heart going to college, getting married, having children of their own. I mean, we've come a long way from a 1% survival rate for some of these defects. And they range in severity, but about 25% of children who have CHD when they are born need open heart surgery. So that is thousands of children every year. Mm-hmm. And again, thankfully, we have these resources in our backyard. But Project Bubaloo really wanted to get involved, and so we started doing events geared towards raising money for congenital heart disease research. And we directly fund research. So sometimes it's hard to donate to a nonprofit, and I know Lisa can probably agree. Like, people want to know what their money is going towards. And so I can safely say we're still a volunteer based organization. No one gets paid. We're all here. My board, all of our committee members, everyone is here on a volunteer basis, and all the funds that we are to host our events, but then to put towards our research grants. So each year, we have researchers from around the United States that apply for our grants and tell us about what they are doing, why it's relevant, why it's going to push the needle forward. And then we have a research grant committee made up of critical care doctors, cardiologists, physical therapists, nutritionists, PhD nurses, and they read these applications and then decide based on how much money we have, and that's how we make our decision and what to fund. And we're on our third full year of funding at this point. So this year we've even funded a podcast actually based on parental trauma surrounding long-term stays in ICU. So that was a PhD nursing student wanted to do this podcast related to trauma. So it's a variety of things. And then we funded a huge study down at Lurie Children's in Chicago. They're doing amazing things related to right-sided heart failure and gene therapy. So it's a range of things that we fund, and we're very open about the things that we're funding.
And so on your website, is there a donate button
that absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And you can and
you must
check
have
a,
that.
Yes. And an impact button. Check the impact button out, and you can see all the research studies that we've funded directly and the people that are actually doing them.
That is an awesome thing to have on a website. Well, what would you say your call to action would be for our listeners today?
I think that unless you're a CHD researcher, please apply for one of our grants. But we try to create spaces and events that anyone can come to. So we have a range of events. Our biggest fundraising event is in the spring called Hops for Hearts. So it's a beer. We're in Milwaukee, right? A beer tasting event. We invite a bunch of breweries. You get a tasting glass. There's food. There's music. So we try to have an event that anyone feels like they can come to, and they're contributing to our research grants, and they're having a good time doing it. And we have all of our favorites, our nurses, our doctors that come. So families come, and they see the people that cared for their children. And it's so great because every year I meet new families that are affected. And that's one of my things that I love most is, like Lisa, I'm sure this is her living her mission every day, people can come to me when they find out they're newly pregnant, something is wrong, the ultrasound's abnormal, where do we go, what do we do? It happens too often, but I feel fulfilled when I can get people to where they need to go, and I can be that connection back to the Herma Heart Institute and getting them to the right people. And so it's a way for all of us to kind of come together and celebrate a lot of people's journeys. So we have Hops for Hearts in the spring. We have a fun run and walk in the summertime. And then we also have a golf outing. I got bugged for a long time that we need a golf outing to happen. So if you are a golfer, we have that option available to you as well. So I feel like we have something for everyone.
Something for everyone.
And it's really, even if you don't know anyone with congenital heart disease, but you want to do one of those fun things, I welcome you to join us. Yeah.
And then tell our listeners where they go to find that information.
All of our information for anything that we do can be found on our website. So you can buy tickets for our events and things like that at projectbubaloo.org. And then we also are on Facebook and Instagram.
Well, I want to thank my guest today, Callie Chiroff, founder and president of Project Bubaloo, and Lisa Price, founder and president of Bereaved Together. Thank you for sharing your stories about your precious children, Ari and Theo. May their memories live on through your shared mission. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Truly appreciate it.
You are welcome. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out to Project Bubaloo or Bereaved Together directly. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community that you think would be a great guest for the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. Tune in next Sunday morning at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are making a difference by turning their pain into purpose and making it their life's work to help support others in our community. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. You can also listen to previously aired shows by visiting our website at ellenbecker.com. Well, I hope that we've accomplished our mission today of informing you, our listening audience, and inspiring you so that you'll have a desire to make an impact in some way, and you want to help and support by offering your time, your talent, or your resources. Or maybe there's a specific cause that we've talked about on the show that really resonates with you and you want to give back in some way, either by donating, volunteering, or advocating for an organization that aligns with your values. It doesn't really matter what you give. It matters that you give in whatever way suits you or makes good sense to you. Everyone can do something, big or small. And just imagine what impact we could make if we all have that mindset. So take time to be a blessing and give a blessing and see what an impact it can make, not only on the life of the recipient, but on yours as well. Thanks for listening today and have a great day.